It's good to be with you all this morning, and thank you so much, Mitch. I love the fact that there are poets out there who can write songs like that, because they say in much fewer words what I'm going to take an attempt at saying here. I wondered if we could maybe turn our Bibles open to Romans 3, and we'll get ready to read from there. An amazing passage. The book of Romans is one of my favorite. I think I was talking with someone not too long ago, and the question was asked, if you were going to be stranded on a desert island and you were only allowed to take one book of the Bible with you, which would you choose? And I think Romans would be it for me, because there's still plenty of things I don't understand, and every day yet still things that comfort my heart. Would you join me in prayer as we get ready to go to God's Word? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Word. And we are grateful for the opportunity that we have now to open it up and to let it dwell in our hearts, let it ruminate in our minds, and let it transform the very way that we see this world. Lord, we live in the midst of a culture, and that culture every day refines and informs how it is that we see the world. And so, Lord, we ask that you would enable your word to be powerful, to right the things that are wrong, to beckon our hearts towards you, to understand just how much you love us and how it is that we have the opportunity to worship you. Lord, I'm very mindful of who I am, and I'm very mindful of who you are. So I ask, Lord, that you would take the lead so that we would all benefit. And all God's people said, amen. Well, we're going to, like I said, be reading from Romans chapter 3, 21 through 27. And so I trust by now you may be there. And you not, you can join me on the screen. It says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law of the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom put forward a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No. But by the faith, the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. And then after we read the Bible, we often say this little phrase, this is the word of the Lord. And you respond, and in a text like this, we find ourselves saying it with some meaning, thanks be to God. And it rights our heart to realize that we are always grateful for God's word. What if he chose not to reveal that? And so we say, thanks be to God. And so this morning, we're going to work through and try to tackle some of the things that we have to learn. Before that, though, my wife and I had the chance to travel to Arizona not too long ago. It was a really great time. We loved it. But I became increasingly aware of my need to reteach and re-preach my heart of the gospel every day. I was in a church service there while we were away, and I don't want this to be misconstrued as me sort of taking somebody else's approach, and I learned a great deal from the man who preached on that day. A great deal about what it means to deliver a message, and his passion and his love for the people was very evident. But as I was sitting in that sanctuary, I found myself incredibly grateful for the community of God that he has built here at Sunlight Church. Because there is something so essentially important to us that you absolutely know without a doubt when Pastor Kyle is preaching, when the end is coming. You know it's coming when he begins to proclaim how the gospel speaks into whatever topic he's chosen. So much so that if he were to not do that, in your heart of hearts, you may say, something's not right. In the same way that I felt and my wife felt as we sat in that sanctuary and the gentleman began to speak. It was on Mother's Day. The sermon was called Mother's Fest. And he began talking about the importance of what it meant for moms and dads to be able to stand beside their children, work hard at what it meant to be a parent, and to always stand. And he began to set the example of Mary and how Mary constantly stood beside Jesus. And so Mary became an example for us of what it means to be a parent, to constantly, don't understand what it means to stand. And that was it. And it was really left to our sense of perseverance to continue embodying what it meant to be Mary. The truth is, it's so tempting to sort of grab hold of that idea of what it means to stand for our kids, because there's this sense of validation. This sense that says, you know what? Yeah, if I stand, and if I'm the kind of parent that this guy is calling us to be, I have got for myself a really great sense of identity. I mean, I'm going to be that one who's always there, always pushing. I'm going to be the embodiment of an ant standing on a hill with what probably is a big piece of dung coming over top of me, okay? But I am there. I'm doing it. I'm standing. We love to let our heart lead towards these false senses of validation. And validation becomes something really important to us. We're saturated by it. We live in a culture that is embodied by performance expectations, evaluations. Whether it's consumer reports, grades, performance reviews, political polls, movie reviews, the list goes on. You are constantly being inundated by a variety of things that will tell you what something is worth. This is how we see the world. Our need for validation is universal. Some of us see it as, I'm not enough. And the world tells you why it is that you don't measure up. And you constantly live under the weight of trying just one time to do enough. And others of you have figured out a way in a little niche to make it so it looks like you're getting the validation that you need. You find successes in life, but there is this underlining worry in all of those successes. You know that really tomorrow you'll have to prove it all over again. Validation is fleeting. And so we must struggle through to determine this reality. The peak of the mountain is a slippery slope. It looks so safe and secure up there, and it looks like it's where we're going to be, and once we're there, we'll arrive and we'll all be fine. But it's a slippery slope. And this is why the stand message is tragic. The call to be a parent that is always there is tragic, because it's a motivational talk that will eventually lead you towards failure. I remember as I was sitting there, something in me was called to be a better dad. And then literally the day that I got home from vacation, I literally, instead of standing, fell smat on my face over and over and over again. And so this call to be a better dad and to stand actually became the condemnation of my heart. I can't. Please, would somebody help me? Because my sense of validation, my sense of who I'm supposed to be as a dad, is really suffering here. So we come to the text today, and we see this critical, important point. And I'm grateful that God has chosen to reveal to our community the importance of his gospel. Because when we preach it to ourselves every day, it begins to transform our understanding of what it means to find true validation. Not in the things that we do, not in our ability to stand, but instead in his ability to stand for us. And we confront Romans 3 today with the glorious opportunity of reteaching ourselves the gospel. Not in a cursory way, but in a way that really outlines for us very clearly what's happening. And so you may say to yourself, oh boy, I know what the gospel is. Wow, that's great, and I'm so glad. And I'd love to know if it transforms your heart and your mind every day, and if you've got to the point where you don't need to hear it anymore. That's not me. My heart is fickle, and I constantly forget. And so I have the joy and the delight today of proclaiming the gospel and helping us to see how it directly impacts our need for validation. And so we see that, first of all, it says, this is a very famous first part, it says, but now a righteousness of God apart from the law has been made known. This righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Now this is very radical. It's very radical when you take this statement and you put it in line with all the things that we just finished discussing. This culture of performance evaluation. Because what's being said here is that this validation, this righteousness that comes to you, is by no work of your own. Now, that word righteousness is an interesting one for us. I appreciate the fact that Kyle outlined it not too long ago. He said, and I'll say now again, righteousness is a validating performance record that opens doors. Now, that helps us put the concept of what righteousness is in a bit more applicable way. Suddenly that word righteousness, which we don't know exactly what it means and all these things, suddenly it lands in a very practical way and we realize what it is that we're pursuing. What are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to accomplish some sense of righteousness, which is really important for us because when we think about this evaluation world that we live in, that has all sorts of impacts for all sorts of different people. You see, if our righteousness is a validating performance, then it has a big impact on what doors we're allowed to go into. Many of us are aware of some graduating students right now. Now, those graduating students will most likely, when they finish high school, have one of three choices. They will either enter into some sort of mission, service, or job. They will either continue on into education, or they will remain and live in their grandparents' basement. Okay? Now, since there is really absolutely no validating performance or any sort of righteous validating performance record that qualifies you to just remain in your grandparents' basement, we'll just take that one off the list. And right away begin to see that if you want to be able to walk into some doors as a college or as a high school graduate, you're going to have a resume. And so in the work world, in order to open up different doors, you need to put together that work resume, experience, things like that that get you in. For those of you who are considering going on to another school or to a master's degree or whatever it is that you want to do, then you're going to have to put together an academic record, a score that's going to help you walk into those doors. The truth is that we all need these different things. And because we're so used to this way of thinking, what we often do is we apply it to our spiritual life. And we say that if I needed an academic record or if I needed a performance record, now, as it relates to God and to get into the door of relationship with Him, what I need is a moral record. We say if there is a God, and if you're going to open up some door to get into His presence, it's the same. It's not an academic record, not a job record, but instead it's a moral record. And we gain a deeper sense of validation when we have a great record. This is how doors get opened. Validation from God. And then comes along Paul with what is the most beautiful word in the Bible. Something different is taking place. Something is shifting. Something is being altered. The way that you see the world, the way that the world tries to encroach on you, expectations that you will then get validation from, is shifting and changing. It is a beautiful but. Let's read it. But now a righteousness of God apart from the law has been made known. This righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. All who believe on account of Jesus, an absolutely unheard of approach to God has been revealed. What way is that? He says there's not just a good record or a great record, but a divine record that's now available to you. It's a perfect record. And it's available as a gift given in love. And if we have it, it's the end of our struggle for validation. If you have it, it's the end of your struggle for validation, for worth and for acceptability. We find rest, and we need it. So Madonna describes her longing for rest in this way. I have an iron will, and all my will has always been to conquer some horrible feeling of inadequacy. I push past one spell of it and discover myself as a special human being, and then I get to another stage and think I'm mediocre and interesting. Again and again, my drive in life is from the horrible fear of being mediocre. And that's always pushing me. Because even though I've become somebody, I still have to prove that I'm somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will. What we're looking for is a righteousness that will justify. Now, I can speak personally to the idea that I have never in my life experienced something like the gospel to end the vicious cycle of seeking out some sort of validation from others. Constantly in my life, I am recreating myself. Constantly in my life, I'm trying to come up with new ways of finding man's approval to meet some sort of expectation that will tell me, now I've arrived, now I'm worth it. And then I find in the truth of the message of the gospel that it's not on account of anything that I do that I have come to experience the love of God. And I'm speaking in a personal testimony way because this is not from a textbook. This is from my life. And this can be from your life. And I know that for some, it's echoing in your heart as truth. Rest has come for your weary heart on account of the fact that you have been given a righteousness that justifies. Thinking back to the Mom Fest message, as a mom or a dad, I didn't stand when it was hard. I fell on my face. But Jesus says, here's my record. Use this. Claim my righteousness as yours and be considered innocent. We are justified and eventually, as a result of that, eternally validated. A righteousness that justifies is huge. But there's a struggle. And in order to understand the struggle, we have to diagnose our hearts. Romans 3:24 says, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, pardon me. So we have to just stop a second because we want to make this really clear. We've come up with a good definition for what it means to be righteous, a performance record that opens up doors. But now we also want to understand what it means to be justified, because otherwise if we just skate through that language, it's not me, I don't know who it is. He's a doctor, so it's totally permissible, you're excused. If we're going to understand the full scope of the gospel, we need to have a concrete understanding of what righteousness means, and in addition to that, what it means to be justified. And so justified simply means that you are declared innocent, which is very powerful because as a judge, I could say to someone like O.J. Simpson, you're innocent. But already there's a bit of a tension for us because that doesn't necessarily resonate. We're not sure about that. And so our righteousness and our justification must work together. One is a gift made available to us by Jesus. The other one is a gift made available to us by God. So that on account of Christ's righteousness, God is able to make me justified, innocent, without question. That is a powerful relationship that's taking place. And if we want to make this a full Trinity deal, we can tell you that the only way you know about that is because of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's an absolutely and totally unique reversal of the way that anything else happens. And maybe that's why it's so hard for us to grasp. Maybe that's why it's so hard for us to let go and enter into this. Validation. This is the very thing that we need, and we resist it by its means. Maybe it'd be more clear to write, the very thing we need, we resist on account of its means. Our need for control leads us to want to manage our own righteousness, not leaving it up to somebody else. Our deep desire for validation pushes us away from the help we need to find the rest we're yearning for. It's at once the hardest thing and the easiest thing to do, to find our validation in Christ. So that I ensure I don't get any validation from this morning's message, I will show you this picture. If you know the Veening family, you know Eric Veening. This hairstyle is very similar to what Eric Veening is rocking right now. I was a trendsetter long before him. This is fifth grade. Now, the reason I show you this picture is because at this summer, I went camping with my family. And I distinctly to this day remember that back then, firewood was free in the campgrounds. So you would go and you just load up as much as you can and just have a big bonfire. So my job and the family was always to make sure that there was firewood. And I took personal pride in that. I got a lot of validation from it. because my mom and my dad would say, oh, Mike, you're so good at getting firewood. But that wasn't enough. I wanted to be efficient. I wanted to get more validation. So I would get every single bungee cord that we had on the campground, and I would attach it in some way to my bike, and I would go to the big firewood pile, and I would begin to meticulously construct the world's largest pile of wood that could ever be attached to a bike. And then I would literally have to bike back like this because wood was falling off. It took me 3 hours, but in one trip, I got more wood known to man in our one camping spot. Now, it would have been a lot easier for me in that moment just to say to one of my two sisters who were doing absolutely nothing at the time, hey, want to come help me? Why don't you guys take your bikes too? But you know what? If I let them help me, when I pulled into that campground in all of my glory, my parents would have said, great job, guys. And they wouldn't have said, great job, Mike. And what I really wanted was to be validated for how hard a worker I was. I could not ask for help. Isn't that the way it is with God, too? I want all the praise. I want to get to that place where it's all about me. The security. It's also hard because it's a means of acknowledging in our heart that we are so guilty before God that there's nothing that we can do to solve our problem. No amount of control over him will help. Human beings don't like to think themselves that way, that we don't have control. And so the human potential movement has a heyday. The real problem of validation for the sake of justification remains unsolved for most people. Saving faith in Jesus is hard because it's born out of desperation. And desperation is not something that we like to experience, let alone admit that we have. And so as we continue on in taking a look at our text this morning, we take a look at the power of justification. We understand what righteousness is. We understand what justification is. And now we understand the full scope of justification as we explore this idea, that it is more than forgiveness. If you want to understand justification for the balance of its whole totality, then we have to grasp how there's two things happening simultaneously. In a lot of ways, it's like a teeter-totter. Two things happening. On the left, justification is more than forgiveness. But simultaneously, it is also less than your morality. And I think that will make a lot more sense to us, but this is about as simple as I can put it, and then you'll be able to expand on that a little bit. So first of all, we'll take a look at what it means that it is more than forgiveness. When most people hear you're justified by grace because of Jesus' death on the cross, they right away say, oh, that's wonderful. That means that I'm forgiven. And they're right. That is true. But justification is infinitely more than that. You see, forgiveness, we might look at it like the top image. It's a minus. Forgiveness says, I am now going to take away from you your sin, your record. You are now clean. Forgiveness is basically subtraction, a takeaway. It's a means that now you are free from punishment. But justification is an addition. It's an adding component. It's a bestowing of a status with all the rights and privileges and benefits that pertain thereunto. Justification is not just a pardon from jail. Justification is like the pinning of an army medal, like a congressional medal of honor on your chest. Or if you're more simple-minded like me, you might say it like this. It's like driving your 2003 Toyota Corolla with a missing wheel cover towards a car wash and leaving, not with your car just clean, but literally being given a sports car. You did not anticipate that, but you cannot deny that there is these two beautiful things happening for us. Bestowed upon you is Christ's righteousness. That's not just forgiveness. Christ's righteousness is a serious upgrade. You're like a Purple Heart war hero now. So that everyone salutes you. So you can now access the inner corridors and claim honor. See, it's more than forgiveness. Justification is much more than forgiveness, and Christ's performance record made yours. That is significant. And there is the deepest and truest and most stable sense of validation known to humanity in that reality. You see, you have to understand the way that God feels about his Son. That righteousness being attributed to you is now how God sees you. So that when we think about John the Baptist baptizing Jesus, and God chose that moment to literally open the sky and call down to his Son and say, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That literally becomes the voice of God talking down to those who have claimed the free gift of the gospel in righteousness and the justification that comes to those who call upon Jesus Christ by faith. That is powerful. But we have to be careful. Because if we look at our sense of validation from that alone, we're only paying attention to one side of the teeter-totter. And if you're not careful, you'll end up getting launched by the other island, and that doesn't feel good. So, we have to take a look at the other side. It's less than your morality. You see, in Romans 4, verse 5, it says, God justifies the ungodly. Well, now this starts to feel a little uncomfortable, but let's see. Now, it is stunning because it means that we don't even find a sense of validation in the fact that we have been justified. I don't parade around and go, look at me now. I'm the justified one. There's something seriously wrong with that. Based on what it says in Romans 4, 5, God justifies the ungodly. Tim Keller says it well, better than I can write it, so I just read what he wrote here. When you have been justified, you're absolutely righteous and loved. Absolutely accepted. Yet, on account of what's written in Romans 4, verse 5, in yourself, you're absolutely unworthy, absolutely sinful, and at ungodly, and therefore, absolutely nothing in you is the basis for your justification. Nothing. There's a teeter-totter, a war hero, and nothing. Trying to find that balance is our job. So our validation comes from the greatest of his sacrifices and from nothing of our own hand. And so we come to our final point this morning. When Romans 3:27, he says, then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. Where is the boasting? The glory of God. See, I want you to imagine for a moment that you are that war hero. Well, if you've accepted Christ, maybe you could say you are. And then you have been given access into the kingdom of God's kingdom. And you find yourself walking around with your newly decorated chest of medals, and you're walking around and you're seeing all these people, and you start to strut your stuff around a little bit. Yeah, I'm kind of a big deal. Right? And as you walk up to people, you sort of say, hey, what's up? And then you kind of give one of these glances like, did you see my medals? Right? Now, the story sounds absolutely ridiculous because in your heart of hearts, you know precisely what it is that Christ did so that you could appear that way. And the most humble thing that you could possibly do in that moment is not draw attention to yourself, but to bring all praise to him. Galatians 2:20 comes singing alive to us in this moment when it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Suddenly he becomes the one that is alive in us, and the true power of the gospel becomes explosive. And it's no longer me and all the things that I'm doing that make me appear great, but instead it is Christ living in me. That is the glory of the gospel. This is when, in humility, we know we owe it all to him. And the only place that we will ever find validation worth clinging to is in his love and in his love alone. You see, when it comes to standing, like we're so often called to do, persevere and keep going, when it comes to finding our validity from the things in this world, we constantly fail. We constantly fall. But the beautiful truth of the gospel is in the moment when it would have been so easy for him to stop standing, he didn't. He stayed on the cross. He remained. when all of his disciples walked away, he stayed. He stayed on the cross. And this truth establishes a worth, a validation in us that says at your very worst, you were worth it to him. And so our strength to stand comes from a transformed heart. Not one that says, I got to do better. That's the way I'm going to find some sense of validation. But it accepts the fact that no, you're hooped. And he still loved you. And so I am a child of God. And so our validation turns to him in praise, his glory, forever and ever. If I could end with just a brief story. One of my favorite children's books is a book by Max Lucado. It's called The You Are Special. And it's about the Wemmicks. The Wemmicks were a group of people living in a village. And they're made of wood. And they all walk around all day long. And what do? But they put stars on people. But only on certain kinds of people. People who can sing or people who can dance or people who can jump. People who are really smart. They get stickers all day long. There's something else that they do too. They also put dots on people. But they only put dots on people who can't sing, can't dance, can't really do anything. It's got so bad actually that if you had all sorts of stars, people would start giving you stars just because you had stars. And if you had a lot of dots, they'd say, Gail, you got a lot of dots. Here's a dot. That was kind of rude. Sorry to pick on you. Until this one guy bumps into this girl who doesn't have any dots on her whatsoever. None. And he's totally confused. So he goes up. He doesn't even know if he should put a star or a dot. It's a breakdown. He doesn't know what to do. So all he does is this. He says, why don't you have any? And she says, they don't stick to me. And he's confused, feeling the weight of all of the dots that he has. He says to her, how? And she says, I go to the Maker every day. And he tells me who I am. And that's the invitation this morning. To go to the Maker every day and re-preach to your heart the gospel. And delight in the fact that he says, you are my child. You are my son and daughter with whom I love. In you, I am well pleased. And the thing that we're all longing for, that somewhere deep down inside we might be validated and feel like we're worth something, comes alive. And it doesn't make you any more valuable. It makes him that much more glorious. And all God's people said, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how it transforms our life, that you were gracious enough not to just let it all come through, but to tell us about it. And then to plant us in the middle of a community here that would proclaim it day after day after day relentlessly, because we know that it is the only thing that will land in our hearts to transform us. There are so many things that we need to dispel, Lord, and only the glory of your gospel will kick them out. We must replace it with something more beautiful, and you have provided the answer for that question. Lord, would you give us the opportunity now to sing praise to you? Let the heaven crack open. Let us see your glory and to join and to declare that you are our Messiah. In Jesus' name, amen.